Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, folks. This is Joan Matthews coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and it is August 7th, 2020. And I greet every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I encourage each and every one of you, well, even myself, each and every one of us, to continue on in praying, calling unto the Lord in sackcloth and ashes to show ourselves approved. This is what the Lord told me some years back. He said, call unto me night and day in sackcloth and ashes to show yourself approved. And so, folks, we need to show ourselves approved unto God, especially in this late hour that we're in. Especially in these dark, really dark days that we're in. The scripture tells us in Isaiah, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. The darkness that the Lord is talking about is a lack of knowledge of God, a lack of the truth, who is Yeshua, a lack of the light of Christ, who is Christ in us. And so, folks, I encourage all of us, including myself, that we have to pray for each other and be strengthened and plead the blood of Yeshua over ourselves and over our family every single day. Every morning we wake up, we must put on the full armor of God, by which we overcome the wiles of the devil. We must put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, by which we quench the fiery darts of the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, by which we overcome. And folks, just pray every day for a hedge of protection over ourselves and over our family. You know, the enemy is raging, it's like a roaring lion, the Bible tells us. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so, folks, just like a lion prowls about, looking for the unsuspected, looking for the animals that are strayed, that are not paying attention and are not keeping with the other animals, and they are distracted by their belly or by the cares of the world. So it is, the enemy is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So, Father, I thank you today for your mercies. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace, oh God. I thank you for this brand new day today, for this day that you have given us. And, Father, I thank you for your kindness and for your long suffering towards us. But above all things, Lord, we thank you for your amazing love, the love that you have bestowed upon us. Your word said, greater love have no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends, and so I lay down my life for you. So we are not only children of the Most High God, but we are his friends, we are his children, we are his the love and the apple of his eye. And so we have to continue to seek him. He said, when you shall search for me and seek me with all your heart, soul, and mind, you shall find me. So, folks, repent, all of us. We have to repent every day, turn our hearts and our minds away from the flesh, away from the cares of the world, away from the things that occupy us mostly throughout our whole days and our whole life, and focus our attention on the Lord, because we know that today we could be here and tomorrow we could be no more. There are so many dying, there are so many things happening, accidents, murders, You never know when you leave the house. You may not reach back home. You may be, you could just be sitting there watching TV. And you, folks, I'm telling you, the enemy is on a rampage. And the enemy, him and his wicked children, they are working overtime to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And if the enemy could take your life, your physical life, before you have a chance, before, I wouldn't say you have a chance, before you turn over your life to the Lord, you can be lost forever. And then you would have no opportunity at all to repent and to give your life to God. I mean, just saying those words almost bring tears to my eyes. You know, I almost just burst out crying because I really don't want to stand before God on that day and hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Folks, we're only here for a short period of time in this flesh body and on this earth. We are only here for a short period of time. Even if a person lives to be 100 years old, it's a short period of time compared to eternity. Eternity is forever. And folks, the pleasures and the good things of this life and the riches of this life and the joy of this life is nothing compared to the joy and the peace and the goodness of God for all eternity. So I encourage each and every single one of us to just ask God to help us to endure to the end and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to seek Him with everything that we have and everything that we are in these last days, because He loves us with an everlasting love and He gave His life that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So yesterday I spoke on my last words were Adam and Eve fallen by heeding to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So I am going to continue to talk on that today. So yesterday I spoke on Adam partook of the sins of the woman because he loved her and he suffered and died with her. The second Adam, who is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, took upon himself the sins of the woman because he loved her and died for her, restoring her back to life in him. Hebrews 10:5 tells us, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he, that is God, cometh into the world, he say, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." Hebrews 2:14 tells us, "For as much then as the children, that is, the angels of God, the fallen angels, are partakers of the flesh, and in order, if we are always flesh beings, how can we be partakers of the flesh and blood if we are already flesh and blood? But the scripture is telling us in Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as children, as the children, that is, the angels, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." He, that is the Lord God, take part of the same, "that through death he might destroy him that have power, the power of death, that is of the devil." I'm telling you, folks, these scriptures shows you that we are not flesh and blood. We are pilgrims and we are strangers and visitors upon this earth. And we are only here for a short period of time. We are going to go back to being spiritual beings again. We are fallen angels, angels in the flesh. I remember the Lord said to me, "Do you think that I would create someone other than myself to die for the sins of the world. And as I pondered that in my heart, the Lord continued to speak. He said, what kind of a sacrifice do you think that would be? And as I thought on it, I said, Lord, since you know, your word said that you can speak to, your word said that you can speak to a rock or a tree and say, become a man. And, you know, a tree or a rock can become a man if you deemed it so. You can turn a tree into a man. You can turn a rock into a man. You can speak things into existence. So if you create someone other than yourself to die for the sins of the world, that would mean that you abuse your own power, and that wouldn't be much of a sacrifice at all. Since you can speak things into existence, that wouldn't be much of a sacrifice. And the Lord said to me, even so, I created myself a body. And so we see that the Lord God created himself a body. He placed himself in that body, and that person is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, God in the flesh, who came to take all our sins upon himself, our diseases, our sicknesses, our ailments. God is so good. He's so wonderful. Folks, we are only here in this life. I am only here talking to you and have a saying in this universe, in this vast existence of life. I am just one little speck of dust in this whole chasm of life that we call life. And I am here speaking to you today because God created me. And I can speak and I can talk, and I know that he is the one who created you. And you are listening here today, and you're not listening by accident. If you're listening to this, you're curious about who you are. You're curious about why we are here in this life, in this universe, in this world. What sense would it make for humans to exist and build and have this kind of a mind that we can think for ourselves and we know right from wrong? What good it is if we just live and have children and die and never to live again and never to see these children grow up and have grandchildren? What good would life be? I would rather not be. But God know what. But know that God have created us spirit beings, and we are here to be redeemed by God himself because we sinned while we were spirit beings. So the woman was restored back to her husband through the spear was plunged into the side of Yeshua. Just as Adam was put to sleep and his side was opened, and the Lord took a rib from his side, and with that rib he created the woman. So the woman was separated from Adam, meaning that the church or the bride or the fallen angels, all of the fallen angels came through the veil. They came through the flesh, through Adam and Eve. They were sent here through the veil to come through the flesh to be redeemed by the Most High God himself. And Adam was that angel that came from heaven that agreed to put on flesh and agreed to do this work. And that's why the Bible says we were born in sin and raised up in iniquity. We are not here. We are not sinners because Adam and Eve sinned. We are sinners on our own from before we were even born in the flesh. Romans 11:23 tells us, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. What do you mean again? The word again is very, very, very powerful. When the Lord showed me that before he placed me in my mother's womb, I knew him and he knew me. He said, when I asked the Lord, what was my sin? What was my sin in heaven? Why did he send me here? The Lord showed me, he said, your sin was unbelief. He said, when the war broke out in heaven, there was much confusion. And because of the confusion, you doubted. And many of you doubted me. And he said, if you abide not still in, and he said, I put the light inside of you. Jesus Christ is the light of the world that lights every man that comes into the world. He said, I put the light inside of you, and if you follow the light, you will find your way back to me. This is what the Lord revealed to me. Now, Romans 11:23 is telling us, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So the Lord said to me, my sin before I came in the flesh, before he placed me in my mother's womb, my sin, while I was an angel in heaven, was unbelief. He said, because of the war in heaven and there was much confusion, he said, many of you doubted. And doubt is unbelief. You don't believe. We doubted the faithfulness of God. And the scripture is saying, if they abide not still, they who? The fallen angels. If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Shall be grafted in where? Shall be grafted in, back in, to be one again with Jesus Christ, with God himself, to be one again in heaven with him. For God is able to graft them in again. We were separated from the side of Adam. Now, God himself came in the flesh, put on flesh, like his children. Like he put on, like he clothed us in flesh. He came, put on flesh like his children to save us from our sins. Isaiah 62. I won't read that. So Adam, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Just want to touch on that again. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just give them a little bit of information. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is not a tree, a fruit tree where Adam pick an apple and give her husband some of the fruit to eat. Folks, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is Lucifer himself. And this is what the Lord revealed to me. The Lord revealed that when I asked the Lord what happened in the Garden of Eden, the Lord revealed to me, said, Adam, give Eve permission to lay with Lucifer for the purpose of having children. That was the temptation, that Eve will be like the gods, knowing good and evil, because she'll be procreating, she'll be having children. And whose children? Lucifer's children. Because from the beginning, Lucifer wanted to throw up God's plan in redeeming the fallen angels, because Lucifer suspected, I am assuming this, God didn't reveal this part to me, but I'm suspecting Lucifer have an idea that God was going to deliver these, you know, the fallen angels through himself. And so Lucifer started thwarting God's plan from even in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord showed me that Adam agreed with Eve to lay or to have sex with Lucifer for the purpose of having children. And then the Lord said to me, This is the same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah. Years later, Abraham and Sarah did the same thing to Hagar. This is what the Lord showed me. I could have never put these two together. I could have never combined these two and say, wow, You know, Abraham and Sarah make the same mistake Adam and Eve made. But this is a revelation from the Most High God. I'm trying to make my neck so comfortable. I'm trying to make my neck comfortable laying here on this chair. Oh, Lord, it's so strained. It's so stressful with this neck. Okay. So the Lord said to me years later, Abraham and Sarah made the same mistake. They did the same thing to Hagar. God promised, just like how God promised Abraham, Adam and Eve, he said, you shall multiply and replenish the earth. And they saw that it wasn't happening. So Lucifer said, okay, I can speed up the process for you. Same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah. God promised Abraham that he will have children as much as the stars of heaven, as much as the sand of the sea. Abraham and Sarah realized they were getting older. They were getting old and no children. So Hagar conspired. You know, she concocted a plan. And the plan was the thoughts of the wicked one. It was Lucifer trying to thwart God's plan. And he put it in Hagar's heart to take her handmaiden Hagar. And she gave Hagar to her husband. She gave the fruit. The fruit, folks, is not a fruit. It's the works of the devil. We have the fruit of the flesh and we have the fruit of the spirit. So this is the fruit of the flesh. She handed the fruit to Abraham, which is Hagar. And Abraham did eat. To eat in the Bible is to believe. Is to believe. Just like the Lord God had told John to eat the scroll. And John ate the scroll. He didn't eat the scroll physically. It wasn't that he put the scroll in his mouth and chewed it up and eat it. He told John to read the scroll, to settle it in his heart, to settle it in his mind, so that when he read it, and he will have it said unto his mind and in his thought. That what it means to eat. To eat is to believe. Jesus Christ said, in his word, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He wasn't telling them to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood. Like I was saying, many walked away believing that he was saying that. He said, the words that I speak, they're not flesh and blood, but they're spirit and they're truth. He was saying that I am the word. I am the word of God. So eat my word, meaning that to read and believe and understand and settle it in your heart. And to drink in my blood, which is the spirit that we are going to have in us, flowing through us when we believe in him. So, yes. So, Abraham eat of the fruit that his wife gave to him. Just like Adam eat of the fruit that his wife gave to him, into letting him know. And even, only this time, Lucifer switched it around. During the days of Adam and Eve, he actually had sex with Eve, and that's the product of Cain. This time, he encouraged, because Sarah was 80 years old and was afraid she couldn't have children, but there was nothing impossible with God, and she encouraged her husband to have sex with Hagar, and that's the result of Ishmael. And so, folks, the Lord said, had they come to me and reminded me, not that I need reminding, then the Lord was just testing their faith. And so that's what God does. He tests our faith to see how faithful we are to him, even though there are times when we are looking for God to do something in our life and we notice that our years are slipping away and nothing happened. We tend to lose faith and to go the other direction. Sometimes we are on the precipice, we are on the edge of our breakthrough, but because of our faithlessness or our impatience, and because the enemy is taunting and testing us and spewing us on to move on and not to wait on the Lord, then, our breakthrough, we never get to see our breakthrough, so I encourage each and every one of you to just wait on the Lord. Just wait and keep on trusting. Okay. So Adam died to bring the woman or the bride or the church into the world to be redeemed by the second Adam. The second, and you see, the second Adam, which Jesus Christ, Yeshua, died to live again in order to redeem the bride and to take her out of this world. And yes, Adam died and he didn't rise again at that point, but Jesus Christ, the second Adam, died and he rise again to redeem Adam and Eve and all the other fallen angels that actually accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Folks, we are in a true battle. We are in a real battle for survival here. The war started in heaven and it escalated here on earth. It continued. It never ended. Why do you think there is so much war in the world? War and rumors of war. Why do you think there is so much bloodshed? Why do you think there is so much fighting? And every president of the United States that is elected, they have to fight a war because blood, Satan requires blood as sacrifice. They have to sacrifice thousands and hundreds and thousands of souls to Lucifer in order for them to keep their power, in order for them to keep their position. You know, the Satan took Jesus on a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, here, all of this is mine. It was given unto me. And he said, I give it to whomever I will if they bow down and worship me. So these kings and these powers that are in high places, even powers in the church, in some of the religious churches, and powers and businesses and who run the world, you know, these governments and kings and Shaman and Mahdi and all these names, folks, they have the power of the wicked one behind them, and that's why there is so much killing and there is so much war, because the war escalated here on earth and there is so much evil. But, you know, the Bible tells us greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Yes, you know, I've heard a lot of preachers preach on this subject that because of Adam and Eve, because of Adam, you know, we are here because of Adam, you know, if it wasn't for him, that's not true. That is not true at all. We sin, every single one of us, on our own, and Adam have nothing to do with our sins. Scripture said in Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world by one man, not because of one man, not because of Adam, but through Adam. He willingly, as an angel in heaven, just like all of us, came down from heaven as a fallen angel. And we agree with the Lord to bring us here to put on flesh so we can be saved. Adam agreed to come here to bring all sinners into the world, all the fallen angels. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you see, so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. All have sinned before they even enter into the world, not because of Adam. Adam was the vessel by which sin entered into the world. As Yeshua is the vessel, as Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is the vessel by which sin. Yeshua is the vessel by which sin is destroyed out of the world. Adam came to bring the woman, which is the same as the church or the bride, to a place of grace and mercy to be redeemed by the second Adam. For Romans 5:17 tells us, for if by one man offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness all reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage each and every single one of you today and to let you know that war, just to remind you that the war ended in heaven, where the holy angels of God dwell, but they continue here on earth and in the heavenlies. There are other places up in the heavens, like the firmament of heaven. That's where Lucifer and the angels are. And I'm not sure if they're thrown out of the firmament yet, but when they're thrown out of the firmament, this is when Lucifer is going to occupy a man here on this earth, and he's going to be in the flesh. And my next episode, I'll be talking of on Isaiah chapter 14, the fall of Lucifer, and when he enter into the flesh, what's been said and what's going to happen, and you know, how mankind is going to look upon him. And so, folks, next time we'll be reading. So if you like, you can go and read Isaiah chapter 14 ahead of time. And I just want to say, read a little bit of scripture here from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. However, you know, we were separated from God, but if we repent and turn away from our sins and our iniquities, God is faithful and able to redeem us back unto himself. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he wants to spend eternity. He wants us to spend eternity with him. So just continue to trust God and continue to fall in love with him over and over and over again, because it is the greatest commission and it's the greatest commandment in the entire Bible, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, to love those around us, to love our neighbors, we love ourselves. So God bless each and every single one of you. Welcome. Area code 708. I really appreciate your faithfulness in tuning in and listening. Once again, if anyone require a copy of any of these articles, please shoot me an email. And I love you all in Christ. Have a good evening. Shalom. Bye.